Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and one of the things I love is that we get to have lots of just wonderful, wonderful stories of people that just have overcome just really painful and challenging seasons of their life because of faith in Jesus. And was looking at this quote that I saw after a 20-year study about hope and optimism. Martin Seligman, the founder of positive psychology, concluded that having hope can reduce feelings of helplessness, boost happiness, reduce stress, and improve one's quality of life. But where does hope come from? Obviously, for us as Christians, the answer is clear. It's Jesus Christ, and all of our earthly trials are easier to bear when weighed against the promise of eternity with Jesus, and in fact, they even serve a purpose. Today, our guest is Jenny Levitt. She is the author of God Prince, a wonderful book. It was through her hope, through her belief in Jesus, that sustained Jenny through stage 4 cancer, marriage troubles, her husband's job loss, and homelessness, and then the unthinkable, a collision with a drunk driver that took the life of her 17-year-old son and left her remaining son, Caleb, clinging to life with catastrophic injuries. Jenny realized that she would not have survived, nor would she have been able to help others going through similar trials had it not been for her hope in the Lord. Join us from Central Florida today is the author of God Prince, A True Story, Jenny Levitt. Jenny, thanks for joining us today on Hope Is Here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Jenny, what motivated you to open up about your life in such a personal way?
Well, the need is so great for hope, but especially for parents that have lost a child. We didn't realize exactly how great the need was until we lost our own child and struggled to find resources, and especially resources with a Christian worldview. A lot of the grief resources and stories out there that we were finding anyway were not very hopeful. We wish we could sit down with everybody that we meet that has experienced a loss, but we can't. So us sharing our story is one of the ways that we can help spread the word that, like you just said, there is hope, especially for believers. We have a hope that the world just doesn't have and the world can't give us.
Well, I think that's one of the things that I've learned through my life and interviewing lots of people over the past 5 years. Been fortunate to do that, but that the enemy kind of, when we go through just a really painful season in our life, that the enemy wants you to think that you're the only one. But have you found from writing this book that just so many other people have gone through the loss of a precious child like you have?
Well, actually, even before writing that, another reason why I wrote the book is within a week after losing Jacob, we were in a fellowship of churches, and we knew of this family that the same year we lost Jacob in August of 2015, and January of 2015, they had lost their son, their teenage son, to a drunk driver. So we knew of them, but we didn't know them, and they reached out to us within about a week, and I actually mentioned them in the book. They're in the ministry as well, and we have since become extremely good friends with them, and they have been a lifeline for us, pouring into us. And they weren't that far. They lost their son just 9 months ahead of us. But it has been such an encouragement to walk with somebody who knows that pain. And we've been amazed how many people we've met since then. But there were others that poured into us as well, and that's another reason why, you know, I wanted to share our stories so that we can kind of pay it forward and hopefully pour into somebody else that finds themselves in that kind of situation and needs some hope, needs some perspective for somebody who's actually experienced it.
Well, as you wrote the book, and obviously writing a book, such a tremendous process. Are there any details in the book that maybe you had forgotten about until you actually began the process of writing your story?
Yeah, there are quite a few. This whole writing journey was, I say it was new to me, but my husband and I have been in the ministry for almost our whole married life. We've been married for almost 30 years, so I've done lots of writing, like, for the ministry, you know, children's newsletters and stuff like that. But this whole writing a book was very, very new to me. So I worked with a mentor, a writing mentor, who pushed me to really look for those details that I had not considered, not looked at. And that's actually where the name God Prince came from, is because the more I looked at our family story, I had to go back to, like you said at the beginning, I had cancer when I was really, really young. I was only 22 when I was diagnosed. And I found lessons and things when I really stopped to consider all that God had done for us through each of the various stages of our lives. I could see his hand preparing us when we didn't even know it. So a lot of those things that, I guess, when you experience things in life, you just keep going and you don't really stop to consider why something might have happened. But it's when you can look back on your life and kind of see that there was some preparation. You just didn't know it. So I guess that's the biggest thing that surprised me when I started writing, was how many things like that I found that God really used to prepare me and prepare our family, but I didn't know it at the time.
You've just tuned in. We're talking with author Jenny Levitt. She wrote a wonderful book called God Prince. It's a true story, finding evidence of God in the shattered pieces of life. Jenny, you were really candid about your battle against cancer. Was there ever a time, though, when you truly believed maybe you would succumb to the disease?
Yes. As a matter of fact, like I said a minute ago, I was only 22 when I was diagnosed, and my husband Myron and I got married when we were young. I was 18, he was 22, and by the time I was 22, I had our two young boys, and Jacob, our youngest, the one who passed away in 2015, he was only about 3 or 4 months old when I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I found out several years later just how bad it was. I knew at the time it was stage 4, but I didn't know that I only had a 25% chance of surviving back then. But my biggest mind battle, even knowing, because there were several times I was hospitalized, and there was one time in particular that they called Myron out in the hallway and told him, "We don't think she's going to pull through this time. You need to call family." And he basically, my husband's very strong-willed and determined, and he basically told the doctor, "You do what you need to do. I will do what I need to do, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pray." But the mind battles with that were about my boys, because I knew that if God called me home, I had settled it with Christ when I was a teenager, then, you know, that I would make heaven my home. But my biggest mind battle was the boys. Like, I didn't know how Myron could possibly raise a 3-year-old and a baby as a single father. So yeah, there definitely were some times that I really thought that I might succumb to the cancer.
Well, such powerful. Hope that you'll get a copy of this wonderful book, God Prince, but by Jenny, just to hear about the courageous battle with cancer and then loss of her precious son, Jacob. But, you know, Jenny, as you go through these seasons of grief, and, you know, one of the things our culture, we live in such a just go, 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 go society, always on the treadmill of life, and really don't allow people time to grieve. How does your experience with grief help you minister to others?
That is so true, Greg. After we lost our son, you know, we lost Jacob, who was 17, totally unexpectedly, and then our oldest son was clinging for life, and my job gave me 3 days bereavement, and my husband's job gave him 1 day. So So our society definitely does not put an emphasis on allowing people the time to really work through their grief. And there, that's another, it kind of all ties into why our family, not just me, feels strongly about trying to help people that find themselves in, even if it's not as significant, you know, or of a loss and as traumatic, but you find yourself reeling and you don't have questions. And because our family had to really search for the help, and you know, you were talking about like the cycle of grief, and one of the things that I learned is that grief is not it's not linear. You might think you're past one stage and then a month later you're like, oh, I really thought that I had worked through that. You know, so I've definitely learned a lot, and found some great helpful resources. Some of them I talk about in the book, some of them I have on my website, because again, I want to try to help people that find themselves not knowing where to turn when they experience this overwhelming loss.
Well, one of the things that I love about your book is that at the end of the chapters, you maybe share something from your private journal. Talk a little bit about journaling, because I know that's a struggle for me, but man, when I do it, I'm glad I did. And when I go back and look at journals, it's just so cool to see how God's word. But just talk about what journaling's been like for you.
Yeah, I kind of consider, when I think in my mind of journaling, I think of it as one of the tools in my little toolbox that I know will help me, especially if I'm like really having a hard time processing a certain thing. Like, honestly, I've pretty much journaled off and on all my life. I would love to be able to tell you that, you know, I journal every day, I'm so consistent. That's not true. But it does really, really help me. And most of the time, it winds up being me like starting out pondering a scripture and then working through how that might apply to my life. But really, I untangle all kinds of things with journaling. I always suggest it to people. It's one of my most common things I recommend, because nobody has to read it. That can just be between you and the Lord, and you can get stuff out. You can work things out with Him. You can just be honest. Nobody else has to read that. That can be your private journal unless you choose to share it. So that's definitely one of my go-to tools in my little toolbox to help me when I need some help unraveling or processing something.
Well, I love it, being a pastor's wife. You know, a lot of times people think people in ministry are immune to tragedies, but between your health scare with stage 4 cancer and losing a son, I just have to imagine that, man, God's been able to give you a platform to help a lot of people. Have you found that through this process?
Yes, I certainly have. And even before we lost Jacob, just having being in the book, I say I'm not a cancer survivor. I like to think of myself as a cancer overcomer. I've been completely clear since November of 1998. Thank God. And but I've been amazed. Even before the accident, people would stop us and say, "Hey, Jenny, you know, my coworker just found out that she has cancer. Can you talk to her?" Or, you know, my family member or whatever. And I've been amazed how that was, I consider that one of the good things that God brought out of something that was really bad, a difficult time in our lives, because we've been able to turn around. And the same way that God helped us as we went through cancer, we've been able to turn around and help quite a few people over the years, you know, as they walk through cancer. And I feel like it's been the same way with a lot of the struggles that we've had in life, the financial problems that we had, those are related to my husband having a really bad back injury.
Jenny, hold that thought there. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but the great news is Jenny's going to be back with us again tomorrow, so make sure you tune in tomorrow as we continue our conversation with author Jenny Levitt on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.